the Bay Rowdies, who have made a huge upset.
Your 2021 Eastern Conference champion.
A chance play to go!
Oh, that is a delicious goal for Tampa Bay.
And now, you're tuned into Tampa Bay's RBLR Sports.
Hello, everyone out there in Tampa Bay and beyond. This is James Knowles coming at you for the RBLR Sports Podcast. That's right. I am back from my trip abroad here, and I am only, mostly I am back in town to cover the Rowdies. That's the largest part of it. It's bigger than my salaried work. It's bigger than probably feeding the cat that's sitting next to me. All yep. sorts of things. I think that covering the Rowdies is number one. So I am here to do that again. And I am here with my ever faithful co-host, Carlos. How are you doing tonight, Carlos?
I am well, James. The Rowdies continue our domination of the Indianapolis 11. It's a strong word, but we've had their number recently and it hasn't seemed to change this past weekend. So happy about that. Happy that James is back in one piece. From cities I cannot pronounce in the Scandinavian parts of the world. Check out a game or two between teams I can't pronounce. I'd like to hear about that, James. Give us the breakdown in a second there. So I'm good. I'm happy. I'm in the area for a little bit. I'm heading back to Arlington and DC at the end of the week. So I'm enjoying the sun while I can, enjoying a little bit of the beach while I can. And yeah, happy to see James's face back stateside. James, tell us a little bit about your adventures in across Europe, and check out some of the throw us some of the names of the teams you got to see while you were in Sweden. You were in
that was one of the places. So we originally flew into Frankfurt, where I have family, and we got to see them. And then my wife and I traveled down to Switzerland. We realized that we were just about a day late for most of the things that, or a day early, I should say, for most of the things in the places that we were going. So we took a train down to Zurich. Zurich is in Switzerland, where the Women's Euro was happening at that time. There was a semifinal the night that we were in Zurich in a different city, and there was a semifinal in Zurich the night after. So unfortunately, we missed that one, but we did get to take in the fan zone for the England win over Italy on penalties, the only time in my life I've ever rooted for Italy, and lo and behold, they lost. The next day, we were in Liechtenstein, and there are a couple of clubs in Liechtenstein. They all play within the Swiss system because the country is so small. It is 48,000 people total. So smaller than I think the city that I'm living in right now, Bradenton. And you can walk the whole country in a day. We did not do that, but we did walk the vast majority of it, I will say. So the very next day in Liechtenstein, they were hosting a UEFA Europa Conference League game between the biggest club in Liechtenstein, Vaduz, and Dungannon Swifts, a Northern Irish club. And we ran into many Irish fans who were there to support their team. Unfortunately, despite many of them telling me that I needed to stay and just watch that game, we had to get going because we had a hotel the next night in Innsbruck. There was no soccer in Innsbruck the next night. And then we went to a wedding in southern Germany. The same day of the wedding, there was actually a game between this tiny, probably sixth or seventh tier team, TSV Berchtesgaden. And I don't even know who at this point. But the point is, because there was a wedding, we could not go to that. And I honestly would have loved that. I think that would have been my most sicko mode game ever. But regardless, I missed it. And then we did go to Sweden. We were in Stockholm for 2 days, no soccer there. But then we went into a city, another city that I realized I could not pronounce until Swedish people told me that G's are not G's in Swedish. So the city is pronounced Göteborg, supposedly. Ooh. We'll see if I got that correctly. Any Swedish speakers in the chat, please let me know. But there was another UEFA Europa Conference League game that Thursday. So I got to see BK Häcken beat Anderlecht, and it happened to be on penalties because it was the second leg. So that was cool. My wife and I took in that game, and then we tried to go to the Häcken bar afterwards so we could be some Häcken fans. But it was so full that we just went to the McDonald's and then got ourselves home. So that was actually our night and Thursday in Göteborg. So nice. Yes, lots of fun. But I am happy, of course, to be back where I can cover the green and gold. Anybody who's seen my pictures has seen that I took the Rowdy scarf and the Tampa Bay Sun scarf everywhere I went. I tried to get pictures with them in front of all the stadiums that I could. And I around the places that I went for the Tampa Bay Sun, or at least I happened to see them. You know, I can't say for sure who put them up, but yeah, that was the majority of our trip there. But Carlos, I missed a couple of games for Tampa Bay Rowdy club soccer, and that was both in the Jaeger Cup and in the USL championship. And this past weekend, I happened to miss a win. So I'm going to be relying on you and the analysis of our producer, Eureka, to get through this one. But yeah, let's jump into it. This past weekend, the Rowdies beat Indy 11 in Indy, as Carlos has already told us. And now we need to talk about that one and preview an away game versus North Carolina, a weird North Carolina. We're going to see exactly how they shape up right now. Like and subscribe to us on YouTube, any major podcast platform, and please follow RBLR Sports on social media at RBLR Sports on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, Threads, Blue Sky, anywhere you are. We are there too. Carlos, let's get into the quick recap for this one.
Yeah, James, this was a fun one. Your Tampa Bay Rowdies matched up against an Indy 11 squad that we played against rather recently at home. You'll remember that June 25th game at home in the rain after a really crazy rain delay. It was that last home game before this really tough road stretch that we've been on in the month of July into August. 3-1 win back then. James, you'll find it maybe surprising that it was a 3-1 win again for the Rowdies over Indy. Maybe that's our favorite scoreline. Maybe we have this team's number. I'll give you some fun little stats about Indy and the Rowdies' history at the end of this quick recap. Bondre started in goal here for the Tampa Bay Rowdies. No surprise there. That's been the regular in net for us. In front of him, you had Van Kaziel, Castellanos, Guillen. Out wide, you had Nick Moon, Blake Bodley. Great to see them starting together. Again, I think that's the second game in the row we've seen that. That's been really good to see just because that's been the duo we've been advertised for, 2 years almost?
Yeah.
It's really, really great to see them getting starts together regularly. That's great. Wyke, Hilton, Crisostomo were in between them with Woobs Pacias and Luis Alvarez up in front of them. Alvarez playing in that more attacking mid role right behind Woobs, but sometimes drifting up into more of an almost second striker role in this one. The Tampa Rowdies opened the scoring really early in this one. Pacias got another goal. He's kind of started to find his rhythm again. He's been a little bit on and off this year for the Rowdies in terms of his goal scoring production, James. But he started to find his rhythm, and that was evident in this one. This was his 7th goal of the championship season, so certainly not bad at this point in the year. Let's hope to see more of that from him.
Yeah.
Indy would equalize right before halftime in a really unfortunate taking advantage of a quick corner. Rowdies fell asleep on that one, and Ofemu got a really, really wide open header to put the Indy 11 equal with the Rowdies right before halftime, 1-1. Castellanos got caught napping a little bit there, and Ofemu comes in wide open. This game goes into halftime 1-1 after, honestly, pretty solid start for the Rowdies, a couple great looks for us, good start, everyone doing their part offensively, creating some good looks and some good chances. But they wouldn't really take their foot off the gas in this one. The Rowdies still came out strong in the second half, another few good looks that we'll talk about in a little bit. But it was Woobs involved again on the second goal that Alvarez would finish on a lovely little line drive right into the bottom left post. Put it out of the reach of Salty for Indy. Rowdies go up 2-1 in the 57th minute. Indy would have a couple of good looks in this one. Bondre would have to make a couple of big saves. And honestly, a bit of luck as well for us because there was more than one really, really good chance for Indy that they could have put away in this one. Point-blank situations that, for whatever reason, Mario Williams just really wasn't on his game in this one. And when the Rowdies are able to hold off until the 98th minute when we put in the nail in the coffin Joey Skinner gets the goal, 98th minute, off of an incredible hustle play from Arteaga, by the way. Say what you will about Manu Arteaga this year and struggling to find his rhythm in the attack. It's not been out of a lack of hustle or a lack of attitude from the Venezuelan striker in this one. Ollie Bassett is the one that gets the ball in transition here, gets pulled up and held by the Indy 11 defender, assuming that he's going to take the foul and kind of waste some more precious time here. Arteaga sees the ball open there. Not someone known for his speed, by the way. We're never going to point to Arteaga and say this is a speedster that we like to have up top because of, you know, his speed or anything. Arteaga sees a lot of space, and the ball right before half field, picks up the ball, sprints downfield, and has a really, really determined Joey Skinner running with him to put a ball away off of the Manu Arteaga squared pass to Skinner. Easiest goal of Skinner's life. Beautiful little one-on-one finish against Solti. But all the work, credit there to Arteaga. And, you know, obviously the credit to Skinner for keeping up with him and putting that ball into the back of the net. Great all around from the Rowdies in this one, James. Plenty of people to give praise to here. Things looked good. Things were on. Again, another mistake. You always want to see a shutout, but we'll talk about that later on. Rowdies go into this one in Indy in a game where none of us predicted a win. Indy had been finding their rhythm after we beat them. They'd kind of put together good results against Monterrey, Rhode Island, dropped against North Carolina, won against Tulsa. They've been finding their rhythm, 3 wins in the last 4, and unfortunately for them, we're not able to keep that rhythm against the Rowdies, who were able to establish their game, get out of there with a 3-1 win. James, the Rowdies aren't dead in the water yet. There's a lot of season left to be played. We're under half of the season to be played at this point, sure. But at this moment, as of 5:34 p.m. on this Tuesday evening, the Rowdies are 2 points out of playoff position. Absolutely ridiculous. Detroit City is in sixth place with 21 points. Hartford is in last place with 16. For anyone that doesn't want to do the math, that's 5 points of difference between the sixth place team and the 12th place team in the East. There's a lot of room for movement here. Mm-hmm. And there's not a lot in the way of huge, you know, games played difference or anything. This is up in the air. Birmingham Legion in eighth place has actually played 2 more games than the Rowdies. We have those 2 games in hand on them. We have a game in hand on Rhode Island, who's tied with us on points, but beating us in the goal margins here. There's a lot of room to move up here, James. Keep this momentum, and we could be talking about a different Rowdies in just a few weeks from the 12th place Rowdies we have come to know and loathe. I don't like being in 12th place over the last several weeks. Zooming out a bit more, standings update: Charleston Battery and Louisville City are still duking it out for first place. They're both tied with each other on 41 points, first and second. Behind them in third place, you have Loudoun United. Big gap, 14-point difference between first, second, and then, of course, the third place Loudoun United squad. Behind them, North Carolina FC on 26 points. This is our opponent for the upcoming weekend. It'll be a really interesting game. We'll talk about it later on. Pittsburgh Riverhounds in fifth place with 26. Detroit City with 21 in sixth place. And after that, James, like I said, a 5-point difference between Detroit and Hartford in last place. You have Indy, Birmingham, Miami, Rhode Island, the Rowdies, and Hartford in that bottom half of the table. It's going to be a chaotic race to the finish.
I think so.
In this last portion of the year, I think you're going to see, hopefully for us, a lot of movement. But a lot of movement in general. Hopefully for the Rowdies, it's upwards. Out west, Tulsa holds on to their first place spot. I think rather surprisingly for me at this point in the year, I wouldn't point to Tulsa as having been this powerhouse squad or anything. By the way, a team that Indy just recently beat, so good to note. Sacramento Republic in second place over there, 27 points. Neil Collins really starting to find his rhythm with his squad out west. San Antonio FC in third place, El Paso in fourth, New Mexico in fifth. Phoenix Rising finding their game in sixth. James, if you look at the Western Conference table, a lot closer from top to, let's say, the bottom of the playoff picture.
And right in a numerical line, too.
Yeah. And again, you'll read back the points I just said. From first down, 32 points, 27 points, 27, 26, 25, 24, 23, 22, 21, 20, 19, 18. it's, like you said, very numerical. There's a lot of room for things to happen out there as well. Certainly a much closer race up top than it is over here in the East. So keep an eye on the West. It'll just be fun over there as well as games kind of keep happening. We enter this last half of the season. Lots of exciting stuff going to be happening over there as well. So good points happening. Good games happening all around the league. Always watch the USL. You know, putting on my oh my God, what's the name of the actor that they like Photoshop the USL hat on? You know what I'm talking about on Twitter?
Oh, Rob Lowe. Yeah.
Rob Lowe. Yeah, I'm putting on my Go USL hat. It's a competitive league. It's fun and it's a good time right now. Okay, James. That's my long-winded way of saying that the Eastern Conference is crazy outside of those first and second spots. And the Western Conference is good. There's good matchups. We just need a couple wins and we're back in the picture. We are in the picture now. One win against Indy 11, a really, really impressive win. And you're back in the mix. It's ridiculous, but it's where we are. It's the nature of playoff soccer and how mm-hmm. we lay it out in the United States of America. So we have a chance, James. Let's talk about this game. Let's talk about why we're in the picture still. I admittedly did not think we were going to come into this one and play as well as we did or leave with 3 points, but it was a good matchup for us. I think we matched up very tactically, very similarly to Indy. Both teams like to play out wide a lot. And I think mm-hmm. we just kind of did it better than Indy in this one, James. We talked about the goals. Casillas on the 12th minute, Ofemi ties in the 44th, Alvarez in the 57th. Skinner in the 98th to put it away. I'll give you my first takeaway really quickly, James, before we dive into the specifics. Casillas in this game was playing the game that he can play best. Casillas, for whatever reason, we've been trying to use him as this kind of long ball chaser and, you know, make things happen by himself, which is great because he can do that. We know Casillas can make random goals happen by himself. But in this one, so many looks in this game happened because a ball was played to Casillas, having his back to the goal, holding off a defender and laying it off for someone else. That was how the goal happened for Alvarez. He, you know, was holding off a defender, headed it down to Alvarez, who made the overlapping run and went on to score a goal. Casillas's goal in the 12th minute was created because there's a long ball to Moon. Moon brings it down. Casillas has his back to the defender. Moon plays it to Casillas. Casillas grabs the ball, hold off the defender, and then lays it back off to Moon, turns around, continues his run at goal, and Moon finds him with a little bit of space as everyone's kind of starting to turn their attention to Moon. Casillas gets wide open, beautiful finish to put the Rowdies up 1-0. There's at least two other chances off the top of my head where Casillas does that same exact kind of attack, kind of approach, holding off the defender, laying it off for someone else, making a play happen that did not lead to goals, but led to good-looking opportunities. That is where Casillas seems to be so dangerous because we know he's quick. We know he's got, you know, the ability to just take guys on one-on-one and make things happen. But when he's been able to link up with an Alvarez or a Moon, right, in this game, it's ridiculously fun to watch, first of all. But second of all, it's leading to goals. That's awesome. I wouldn't really think about Casillas initially as like a playmaker necessarily, more just a finisher. But that's how it worked in this game. I want to see more of that. That's my first and biggest takeaway in this one, James.
I have not. I told you ahead of time that I would have to rely on you for this one because I wasn't able to watch it in our traveling back and then obviously getting caught up with work, etc. But I was able to watch the highlights. You know, I can fit in a couple of minutes there. And I didn't see all of the chances that you're referring to with Woops, but obviously two goals are set up with that. And there were a couple of other chances that were included in the highlights package where he was doing that. So I think that this is a bit of the Cal Jennings curse too. When we had him, we eventually got to a point where our ability to create chances wasn't so good. And ultimately we relied on Cal Jennings to just kind of do it on his own sometimes.
Yeah.
And he can do that, but it's not something that you can rely on as a way to move you up the table, to consistently get wins that get you the points that move you into the positions that Rowdy's fans should expect to see. So Yeah, I think that that's, I think that that's honestly a very important point. What you've just made here is that maybe we've relied on Whoops to do this at times over the course of the season where we haven't been creating enough chances through open play. And there are probably, I can't remember the games offhand, but I'm sure I can go back and read through our notes and be like, oh, that was one of those games where we didn't have a lot of chances. That was one of those games where we weren't really doing a lot in the opposition half. So here, I did like a lot of the buildup. I did like a lot of the plays that led to goals or chances for the Rowdies. We ultimately ended up with fewer shots than Indy, according to the stats. But at the same time, I think that our quality chances were, I think that we had more quality chances, and I can fact check myself on that one, but it certainly looked that way. And it looked like we were, it looked like we're starting to figure out a system a little bit. Is that fair? Do you think that, like, we're working under a new head coach, obviously, so you got to get used to his system. You got to get used to his style. Yeah. Do you think that we are actually taking the steps that we're starting to get to be a better attacking team overall? Something that Rowdies fans want.
Yeah. I think you saw the positive forward-thinking approach of Adam Casciato in this one. I think you saw it off the bat, honestly. First game he took over, you saw a lot of that high press against San Antonio that you wouldn't have seen all that much in the prior Rowdy squad. I think you saw a bit of that as well in this one in terms of just, you know, pressure, forcing a bit of turnovers in the Indy half. But more than anything, you saw a forward-thinking Rowdy squad not playing on the back foot away from home. Very important. Like I've said before, the most annoying thing to watch is when your squad goes away and they sit back and kind of play for the counterattack. I think the Rowdies have like a case to be one of the teams that do that this year because they've been not great. You're sitting at the bottom of the table. You go away and where you haven't been good. Well, you haven't been good home or away this year, but particularly away, right?
Right.
The Rowdies would have a case to be the team that says, okay, we're going to sit back, play against this team that's in much better form than us. In this case, Indy, I wouldn't say they're much better form than us, but you get my point. Sit back, absorb some pressure, play on the counterattack. The Rowdies would have had a case to be that kind of team this year. I don't think at any point really this season you've seen the team do that, even, you know, under whether it was under Nielsen or Coleman and now Casciato. I don't really think that was the case. But with Casciato in particular, I think you see a you notice it a bit more. You notice a bit of the attacking approach. You notice a bit of the forward thinkingness that he likes to bring to the table. Obviously, there's a guy who scored, or not himself, but produced one of the more one of the most attacking minded teams in USL League One history, breaking the goal scoring record with Union Omaha. So long term, you know that's what he wants to do here. He wants to create an exciting brand of soccer. If Pacias can buy into this, you know, game plan, and we see more of this going forward, then I'm in. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to see a lot of that. And it'll turn into a lot of goals. I love Arteaga. I still think he's incredibly talented. If we're going to be running this one striker situation for the foreseeable future, it seems like Pacias would have my vote to get the start going forward.
Yeah.
That can change, right? I mean, players have ups and downs. That's why you have quality strikers to kind of support your guys as well. You brought in a Silkar who came in later in this one and had a bit of a positive impact as well. So you have options to bring off the bench. You have options to start if someone gets into a slump. But right now, I think Woobs gets the nod going forward. Especially if this is the game plan. This is playing to his strength, which is what, I mean, you want to do that with all of your players, but particularly with your forwards, the guys who are actually putting the ball into the net. Casciato's playing to his strength. So that's really, really great to see. So to answer your question, I think, yes, I think you saw some of that offensive approach that he's been wanting to bring to this team. You started to see that in this game. I wouldn't say you didn't see that at all in past games necessarily, but it'd be hard to point to the Charleston game and say, oh, I saw that offensive forward-thinking approach, or to point to the Hartford game where we won 1-0. Still, the fact that we won, throw it away. Like, it wasn't a very exciting or particularly offensively, like, offensive masterclass of a game or anything.
Sure.
San Antonio, again, you all that you really saw was that there was a high press, and you saw the you know, mentality of the team. Lasso's red card early on didn't really help, but, you know, whatever. I think this is the first game where you start to really see that forward thinking mindset in the attack. So yeah, takeaway, Woobs, great. Alvarez had a great game in this one. I think this is like the system he wants to play in the attack. I hope we keep seeing Bodley and Moon paired up together in the wing back spots, because that's, again, what Castellanos seems to really like going forward, is their both of their abilities in the attack. Obviously, they track back, they have to defend and whatever, but Bodley and Moon together at the wing back spot seem to me to be the most attacking, the most threatening in the attack that we could put together in the wing backs, if that makes any sense.
If I can jump in, I just want to say, if I'm remembering, I think it was the first goal where you mentioned how Woobs and Moon interacted like in two or three different phases in the buildup to the play. So, the interaction there and the fact that you have Moon coming inside as much as he was in these moments, and hopefully Bodley doing the same thing, I think that that's also very positive for us to build up those numbers in the key areas, you know, right around the edge of the box, especially on the outside of the edge of the box. I'm trying to say on wide on the edge of the box. I forget the numbers. They've broken it down into a grid on the field, and I don't know the numbers of that, but that's where my brain was reaching for anybody who's wondering how I'm mixing up exactly which parts of the field. But yeah, on the edge of the box, on the outside, right there, those are supposedly the most dangerous spots. And I think that having Moon and Bodley involved with the play as much as especially I saw Moon in the highlights package anyway, that's very promising.
Yeah. Starting to see Castellanos' influence in this team, particularly in this one, in a positive way, the attack, right? Righties go ahead 1-0. Indy ties it up. I want to point out the fact that Indy did have a good amount of really great looks, by the way. Some of them were some of their own high press, our back line getting a little nervous and maybe committing a turnover that really shouldn't be happening. I think Bondre had made a couple really impressive saves in this one. But the fact that it was 3-1 comes down to, in my opinion, a bit of luck in this one as well, defensively. Because Romario Williams had more than one really, really clear look on goal. And point blank just missed the net on one occasion in particular. It might have been that Bondre actually got a leg to that, but it's hard to see in the replay. The ball went wide. It was a point blank look for him right after the Rowdies get the goal in the 10th minute, in the 13th minute. Bondre's forced to maybe make a potential save. I don't know if he made any contact with it, to be honest, but I was trying to see in the replay. I was like zooming in, trying to see what I could find, but it was really close. Ball goes wide. Ofemu, by the way, again, Ofemu as a defender for Indy could have had two goals in this one. He had a point blank header that went wide. Wide open at the back post. I don't know what happened. It was another defensive breakdown, kind of like what happened in the corner right before halftime. A defensive breakdown, Ofemu point blank misses a header. Bondre had no shot at it if it went to goal on the far post. Misses that one as well. Again, Williams had maybe one other really, really clear look that, again, just Bondre kind of makes a half save, but it's mostly out of luck that Indy doesn't go up in this one, or not go up. Indy doesn't equalize in this one at that point. Bot Mob says Indy had 6 quote-unquote big chances. I think that's a little dramatic, but it was more than the Rowdies, I think, in terms of just point-blank misses that they had. In terms of the chances that we were actually creating offensively, I think the Rowdies had more of those, but Indy had a couple silly off-of-corner clear looks that they just couldn't put away. That very easily could have been goals for them. So a little bit of luck for us, but also some solid defending in most of the game is the reason why the Rowdies come out on top in this one, 3-1. The goal that Indy scores right before halftime, again, it's just falling asleep at the wheel, especially right before halftime. It's the worst time to concede because I'm feeling good. The Rowdies played a good half. In that first half, I took some notes here. You had that goal that just was beautiful. well worked. It was kind of pinnacle rowdies this season, making things happen in the interplay with the wing back and the striker. A couple other good looks. Hilton has a great free kick. Like, things are going pretty well for the Rowdies in that first half. And then you give up a corner kick, fine, whatever, just get back and defend it. Indy, short ball, quick pass, and then, you know, off of the corner kick, lays off a beautiful looping cross to the back post, where Ofemu is wide open because Castellanos just didn't really see him. He comes in, gets up, boom, head back of the net, ball into the goal, easy. Indy ties it up 1-1. That was lame. Let's not do that. That's not good. Keep an eye on the guys around you. Like, that was just a silly goal to let in because Ofemu was so wide open and we had guys there. Castellanos wasn't marking anyone. So I would be more frustrated at that if we didn't come back and score two goals later on. So water under the bridge for now, but I really like to see shutouts, and let's get another shutout going forward.
Yeah.
James, we've talked about the grit of this squad a couple times this year, right? It's nice to go up 1-0 before, you know, the other team scores on you first, because we've seen a lot of that this year. Mm-hmm. We're conceding a lot of first goals. In this case, we scored, and then we concede right before halftime. I think mentally that can be really, really tough for a squad, especially a squad that's in the situation the Rowdies have been this year. Do you think it says anything about the mentality of the squad that they come out and continue to play really positive, really forward-thinking soccer? Opened the second half really well, in my opinion, with a couple of good looks. And then Alvarez gets the chance off of the interplay with Woobs that leads to the goal. And of course, closing out strong, goal for Skinner later on. Is there anything to note positively about the Rowdies' mentality in this one? The grit to, after conceding that really unfortunate goal right before halftime, to continue, foot on the gas, keep scoring, and play what I think is one of their best games of the year. Thoughts?
Yeah, I would say definitely this is, without having access to the locker room, which obviously we don't, we haven't, so I can't, yeah, I can't refer to a before and an after or anything like that. But it does seem like in moments, the Rowdies, Over the course of, let's say, probably the last two seasons at this point, I think that the Rowdies have shown at times that they were, I don't want to say mentally weak, but let's also probably say that they weren't mentally strong, right? They've had a setback, and then at times maybe their heads have dropped a little bit. So we've talked about a couple of games over the course of this year that I think We noted specifically moments where we took a punch and we kept fighting and we didn't give up just there. But possibly this is one where it does feel a little bit different here. The punch right before halftime is difficult, obviously. You used the word a bad time to give up a goal. There's never a good time, as anybody else will point out. But yes, that's a real sucker punch when you're doing well, and just before halftime you give up the lead. That does suck. So I think that possibly this is something to do with the new manager. But at this point, of course, it's so early. Let's probably say that I need to give it a couple more games of seeing this. But what I want to say, it's a good sign. It's obviously a very good sign if we can take that right before, or that equalizer right before halftime, and we can say, all right, that sucked. That really sucked, but we're not out of this game. Let's keep it up. Let's see what we can do now. That's positive. And if we can go to the next game and maybe show some type of similar resolve, that would be good too. As you said, though, keeping a clean sheet would probably be the best position for us, where you don't have to take the punch and come back and show all that. I think that I would like to see at least the Rowdies give up a few fewer chances. There were some bad ones, I would say. Robert Castellanos had two instances, I think, that I can remember, where he seemed to give up the ball pretty much within the Rowdies' box. That's part of the playing style. So that's something that we're going to have to get used to. There's a whole Twitter account dedicated to when playing it out of the back goes wrong. And That's something you have to get used to if you're going to be playing it out of the back. But the reason that teams do that is because it sucks in the opponent's press. And then you have the ability, like we did for the first goal, where Lewis Hilton played it over the top and somebody is free in space. So that is what that creates. And it does take, it takes the getting used to, where you're going to have to work out the kinks of not giving up chances because you just gave up possession within your own box. So while I do like the mentality that I think was clearly on display in this game, as I said, we'll need to see if that continues or if this was just a one-off. I don't think it will be personally, but we'll see how it goes. But the other thing, of course, is to be a little bit more careful with the ball and be a little bit more, be a little bit tighter with possession and not give it up in bad places, obviously. That's going to improve things a lot more, in my opinion. But, you know, it's everything is a work in progress at this point when we have had a pretty rough season by all accounts. Yeah. And now we have a new manager coming in who's trying to institute things on the fly. We have a couple of new players who have joined the roster, including Juan Osokar, who he made his debut this past weekend as a substitute. Yep. Honestly, yep. Pretty good pickup, in my opinion. It's all going to have to kind of come together at some point, and hopefully it comes together while we're pushing our way into a playoff position.
Yeah. By the way, it helps that we're playing our apparent sons in this league, unbeaten in the last 10 against Indy. We've now beat them 4 games in a row. We are 5 games unbeaten in a row in Indianapolis. Before 2019, the Rowdies really struggled to get anything whenever we'd play them in NASL days over there in Indiana. Since the turn to USL, for whatever reason, that's changed our luck against them and against them in Indianapolis. And the Rowdies have had their number for at least the last 5-6 years at this point. So good to know we still own them. Good to know we beat them by the same scoreline again away as we did at home back in June. You mentioned Osokar, by the way, debuted, got about 20 or so minutes in this game. Not super influential in the attack in this one or anything, but I will note that his effort in denying or at least helping to put a body on the Indy forward, whose name I'm forgetting at this moment, but in the 81st minute, there's a looping ball that gets to the back post for Indy that easily could have finished in the equalizer for Indy at that point. It would have been 2-2 Indy, equalizing in the 81st or 82nd minute. Osokar gets back there. I don't know what he's doing back there. Like, he's supposed to be this kind of attacking guy, right? He's our depth striker. For whatever reason, I guess we're defending with the whole team at this point.
Yeah.
He's the only guy on this Indy player. Puts a body on him. I'm not even sure if he gets contact on the ball, but he at least makes the Indy attacker uncomfortable here, and uncomfortable enough to put the ball just wide. I want to shout him out for his effort there, because that goal would have changed the entire direction of this game. Mm-hmm. If Indy equalizes in the 81st minute or 82nd minute, whenever that chance was, you can go fact check me. It's in the highlights somewhere. It's one I refreshed myself on as I 5 minutes before the start of the podcast. A special shout out to him for that. It's always good to see the effort from the new guys working to earn their respect, earn their spot on the team. It's really, really cool to see. So again, lots of striker that we signed, not particularly influential in the attack in this one, but that's fine if you're going to put in the effort and deny a chance like you did in that one. That counts as half a goal for me. So good for him in this one, since you mentioned the Sokar. Other looks in this game, like I said, Woobs had a couple of great chances that unfortunately didn't go in, but he had a great game, so I won't knock him for that. Arteaga comes in, he had one sitter of a goal right near the top of the box. Arteaga gets a beautiful pass laid off to him from out wide, and unfortunately just sails the ball high right over the goal. It could have easily been the nail in the coffin there. Shout out to him, though, because he'd come back just 2 minutes later and force the opportunity and sprint down the field with the ball and lay it off for Skinner to get the goal that would put the Rowdies ahead for good 3-1 in this one. Those were the other clear chances I wanted to shout out here. Again, Arteaga, decent, great for him. I'm happy. I hope we continue to see the effort going forward from him The positive energy, the positive attitude. I know it can be so hard for a striker to really feel the love or feel that he's contributing anything when you're not scoring the goals as a striker, but he has that talent in him. It really is just a matter of letting the floodgates swing open. So if it happens, fantastic. If not, at least keep seeing that effort from him and that positive mentality to, you know, create chances like this at the end of the game. Good stuff from him generally overall. So, yeah. Anything else I want to mention in this game? Not really. I think we've touched on all the highlights or on all the headlines for me. Positive mentality, positive attacking, a good amount of offensive looks that we haven't really seen much this year. Great stuff from Woobs. Shout out in particular to the hold-up play. I hope we can see a lot more of that because that seems to be playing to his strengths and to the strengths of the guys around him, getting Moon and Bodley involved. Bodley had a great game. Alvarez gets like so many people a shout out in this game. James, that's the problem I want to have. When we get to the end of this
recap, yeah, really.
Yeah, when we get to the end of this recap, we're talking about the man of the match. I want to be struggling to decide who we pick because there's several people that were involved and made key plays in this one. James, is there anything else you want to shout out in particular while we're here and talking about the Indy 11 game?
Well, I do want to shout something out, but I want to do that as part of the man of the match because I am helping out with Eureka's pick because, as I said, I did not watch the game. So I did not feel comfortable making a pick from just the highlights and the stats, and Eureka had one lined up. So I will shout him out once we get to that if you're ready.
Okay. Yeah, I'm ready. I'll jump into it so we have a little bit of time to talk about North Carolina after this. I think I gave it away by talking about him so much in this recap. Gonna give a clear shout out to Woobs Pacias as my man of the match in this one. Woobens was an incredible player here in this 90 minutes. Was just involved in so many of our key attacking plays, including the goal he scored early on. But what's really impressive, James, about that first goal in particular is when you're like this finisher, right? You're a striker, you're going in, your goal is to, you know, just get the ball and put it in the back of the net, right? If the ball lands at your feet, you want it to be in like these high XG spots on the field, in the box, putting a header away, putting a point blank look away. In that first goal in particular, the reason why I was so impressed is because of that hold up play I've talked about already for 40 minutes at this point. He helped create the chance for himself, right? And that's what you want to see from a striker like him with his physical like prowess. He's a big guy. He's what, 6'1", 6 foot. He's really quick, but he's really built. He can hold up the defenders behind him. That was so fun to watch. He did it again in the assist to Alvarez in the second goal. But in that first goal, he quite literally created that chance for himself. Held up the ball, laid it back off to Moon. Moon runs in and gets some of the attention. Woobs, when he lays off that ball, turns around and continues his run down the field into the box. Like, that was awesome. That's And he did that multiple times in this game, right? So we scored 3 goals, could have been 4, could have been 5. We got a bit more like, you know, a good bounce our way. Like if you're making that happen, you're doing it well, you're executing that type of hold-up play effectively against whoever you're playing against, it's so hard to stop. So let's keep seeing more of that. Woobs, my man of the match, easily.
On the other side of things, I had mentioned that Moon looked to be very involved with the attack, especially on that first goal. Blake Bodley made quite the impression on the left wing for our producer, Eureka, probably doing very similar things. So Eureka named him as the man of the match for this one. We always have two in our podcast. So yeah, Blake Bodley will take the other award. And I'm assuming, obviously, I didn't see as much from him in the highlight package, but I didn't see as much from him as I did from Nick Moon. So I'm assuming that over the course of the game, Blake Bodley was doing similar things. We have talked multiple times, including in this podcast already, this particular episode, about how Nick Moon and Blake Bodley were the partners on either wing for San Diego Loyal previously. Now we have had them here for two years, I think it is. And we haven't seen enough of that. So
yeah,
if they are putting it together, if they are working, not together, but opposite sides of the field and doing the same things and doing it well, That's just super exciting for me.
Yeah. James, I love it. We talked about that earlier. This, like you said, in this episode, like that's what we've been talking about forever. So let's keep building. James, we're building.
Look at that, folks.
We're building. Keep going. All right. Let's keep going. James, we'll talk about how we're going to continue building against North Carolina Football Club this weekend. Formerly the Railhawks. Let's go back to that name. That was way more fun. But before we do that, shameless plug, liking and subscribing is free. But if you need some new threads, you can support this podcast by heading over to shop.rblrsports.com and checking out all the designs that have been cooked up. Link is in the description. Promo code COYR for 10% off. It's easy to remember. If you've been to any game, you know the Rowdies. You know anything about the Rowdies. You've heard about the COYR acronym before. Use it. Throw it in the promo code box and get 10% off your purchase. Again, shop.rblrsports.com for all your cool gear. James, it's Buck season coming up soon. They just signed Teddy Bridgewater as a back quarterback. That's pretty fun. Go check that out. Check out all of the RBLR teams covering our other Tampa Bay sports teams. But again, shop.rblrsports.com for all your gear as we head into the rest of the Rowdy season, beginning of the Buck season, Lightning season in the fall. Rays are ongoing still. They play at the Yankees minor league stadium, but they're still the Rays, and who knows what'll happen with them. But, you know, James, check out the store, get some gear, and go support the Rays too. Okay, James, North Carolina FC, formerly the Railhawks. I miss them. I want to see it back. I love all of our wacky soccer logos and brands from the NASL eras.
And the colors are a little more, at least they stand out. Like, yeah. The blue and red, who isn't blue and red except for like us? Come on.
It's stupid. It's corny. It's lame. Whatever. Well, it's not corny. That's the problem. I want it to be more corny. I like the Railhawks. They play at Wake Med Soccer Park. That's in Cary, North Carolina. If you've ever been, cool soccer stadium. Not a lot to do around there itself, but
yeah,
cool stadium. Go check it out. Saturday at 7:30, Rowdies take on North Carolina FC in Wake Med Soccer Park in North Carolina. Yeah, go. I don't know. If you're in the area, I know there's at least a few Rowdies fans in the North Carolina area. Check it out. Go support the Rowdies. We're on a roll. We won two league games in a row. Why not make it three? They're tied for fourth place in the East with Pittsburgh on 26 points, and they've been doing well overall. They have, that being said, by the way, they only have one win in their last six games, and it was over Indy at home, 4-2, an Indy squad we just beat. It's a really interesting team, James. I've been really surprised that they've come out of the gate swinging like they have. They had a really, really, really incredible start to the year. But like you said, you're rightly pointing out that they've only won one game in their last six. It's really interesting stuff.
Yeah.
That includes this past weekend's loss 4-1 to Louisville City away at Louisville. We know Louisville's a really good team, but they were thoroughly outplayed in this one. Like thoroughly. You look at the stats, it's comfortably for Louisville. They outshot them. They created bigger chances. They had all the possession. I think the Rowdies played a better game at Louisville than North Carolina did, but we played a decent game over there. We could see, I was interested because as I looked back at their lineups over the last few games, you saw a bit of rotation. I think it doesn't help that the Jägermeister Cup game was in there and they were kind of already eliminated. So they've been rotating their squad a little bit over the last few games, but in the game against Louisville, you had Mulqueen in net, Burner out wide, Sundstrom, Donovan, Paco Craig, Mentzigan, who had a great, great game, the Brazilian, and their win against Indy. Dolabella has been really dangerous for them this year. Evan Conway scored for them in their game against and their win against Indy at home a few weeks ago. Maldonado has been great for them, Mikey Maldonado this season. Luis Perez, and up top, you had Alex Anderson. In the game against Louisville, he scored their goal in this one. They like to play in that 5-4-1 formation. And it's produced a good chunk of goals for them this year. The interesting part is that no one on their team is having like particularly mind-blowing years or anything, James. But they have a few different players who are collectively very, very dangerous. Their top scorer is Evan Conway, but he's tied with Pedro Dolabella as well, who is not a striker. I don't think so.
Yeah.
More in the midfield, but he's scoring goals too. Evan Conway wasn't really a striker on my radar or anything. Is he even a striker? I'm not even sure.
He plays there. He mostly does play there, but he will also drop back because I think that he has started alongside Alex Anderson in past games, but they usually pick one or the other.
Yeah.
That I've seen.
Yeah. Alex Anderson has 2 goals on the year. Again, he got that goal against Louisville last weekend. So he's not had a particularly thrilling season or anything, but we know he's super dangerous and he can kind of get things firing off cylinders after a couple goals.
Yeah.
Good for him. Getting a goal against Louisville. I like him as a player. I think he's a really fun striker to watch.
Especially when he's playing for the Vinci Heat. That is very fun to watch.
Yeah, there you go. I just hope he doesn't continue that recent goal scoring against the Rowdies. I think that's everyone I wanted to point out for them. I will shout out Mentzigan again. He has 3 goals on the year. He had a really I went back and watched some of my highlights of Indy in the last few games. You saw them at their best against Indy at home. They play a little bit of a high press. They like to create turnovers in your own half. The guys out wide, Mentzigan, Cervania are really good at that. Mentzigan in particular likes to drive into the box and make things happen from out wide. So you see a bit of the Rowdies in them as well. With that 5-back situation, using their wing backs to get up top and throw some balls into their striker. So I think, like I said, I think you see a bit of the Rowdies in them. They've got a few different points of attack that are particularly interesting and particularly dangerous. But again, it's one of those things where I can't really point to one player and be like, that's the guy that if they win is going to make the difference, because right. They have a few different guys who contributed this year. And it's worked for them. They're in 4th place, James. They had a really great start to the year. They've slowed down in the last month or so, and I hope that continues into this game against the Rowdies. But they're a very good team, and they're much better than I thought they would have been at this point in the year.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's unfortunate, obviously, for us with this coming up. But at the same time, we do need to remember that this is probably, at least as far as I can see from most of their season, one of the best times to play against them. And if we're going to do it while they're at home, I think that we can still get some points here. We're kind of trending up little by little, and they are trending down, I think, a little more than that. So, I believe that if we can shut down a couple of key players, which is mostly going to be probably the wider players. And as we said, Mikey Maldonado, if we can stop him from kind of orchestrating the way that I'm sure he would like to as the central midfielder, hopefully we can do that. So as you mentioned, they are probably going to do a lot of high pressing. I assume that part of that is right now we're in this position where we're going to be playing out from the back, and it's probably a good time to catch us with a good press. Yeah. Let's do that with North Carolina as well. I don't know how much they will try to play it within their own box, let's say, especially with Finn Sundstrom at the back. He's only 18. You're probably not going to put a lot of pressure on his shoulders to keep the ball at his feet, play possession from that position. But let's try and put them under as much pressure as possible. And in the midfield, especially if we do have the chance to keep Mikey Maldonado, don't let him have a second's breath. That's going to be really good for us in the end. And, ultimately where we need to direct players and all that kind of stuff, we'll see how the Rowdies do that on Saturday. That's going to be coaching decisions. And I hope that if we can keep up the good work from this past weekend, I do think that we have a chance against this team. You already mentioned how we lined up a little bit like roughly the same formation with Indy. It's not the exact same because I think they sit deeper here, but it will be similar with this lineup against North Carolina. So there is the possibility that we will have again a chance to get a good outcome in the same way here.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great point. Because we played such a great game against Indy, I think you have a bit of a blueprint into this North Carolina game.
Yeah, exactly.
Just play your game. Play it well. Tight at the back, right? They'll be quick. They'll come out from out wide. Like, you know what to expect because you kind of played a similar-ish look already this weekend. I would feel pretty good going into this one. North Carolina has been in a rut, like we said, over the last month or so. We are obviously much further down the table than they are, but we have been hopefully turning the corner recently and finding some results in the last few weeks that they haven't. So let's hope that that turns into more positive results for them, more negative results for them, more positive results for us, and more negative results for them this weekend. James, I'm so tired. My mouth is parched. I was at the beach earlier today. I'm dehydrated. Oh my God, I need some water. James, is it time to jump into the predictions?
Let's do it. Let's do our predictions. I've got mine and I've got Eureka's ready to go. So Carlos, I think that you can get us started.
I'm going to say that we come out here and keep playing our game. We get two in the attack, James. We score two in this one. It's going to be impressive. We're going to keep up the good role. Woobs Pacias is going to keep up his great game, and he's going to play some more hold-up situation. He'll get another goal, and then maybe Moon gets on the score sheet. I don't know. Doesn't matter. I think we're going to score two goals in this one, and we'll hold North Carolina FC to one. I feel positive.
There we go.
I know they're in fourth place. I know they're much higher up the table than we are. But, again, just looking at recent results, looking at how they've been playing our last few weeks, they're not scoring as much as they were earlier in the year, and they're conceding a good chunk of goals as well. I think if we play an offensive, forward-minded approach, we don't get scared against this team away, which I don't think we will. I think it could turn to something positive in this weekend. So I think we'll have a positive game. Yeah, 3 points. Let's go for it.
All right. I would like to see 3 points. However, I am a little less sure that we'll do it. So I went with a 2-2 draw, while our producer Eureka also chose a draw, a 1-1 draw to be specific. So keep your eye out for that. And if you have your own predictions, obviously, you can shout them out on any of the social medias. Yeah. I think that should do it for our preview. Please be aware, though, that we do have the Rowdies Original Era coming up soon. The Original Era night specifically will be Saturday, August 16th. So that's not this weekend. That is the weekend after, obviously. And we will be playing Phoenix at that time. Make sure you're there. It's going to be, they have a lot of stuff lined up. I don't know what it is, but we've spoken with people at the club that they're saying that they're trying to get everything like lined up to make this a really good, memorable, fun night. That's going to be cool. Yeah. So Original Era night, Saturday, August 16th against Phoenix Rising. There's probably a little bit of history with Phoenix, so even more reason to show up. We'll see you guys there. It's also not only that, but we've been away from home for a long time at this point. So let's just all get as many tickets as we can.
Let's do it.
All right.
We deserve that, James. We deserve a good showing at home. The fans deserve another win at home. Like,
yes.
We haven't had many of those for the crowd at home at Al Lang. So I think it's time to hopefully continue the good momentum that we've had in the last few weeks into North Carolina this weekend. Hopefully take it all the way to that home game against Phoenix Rising at home. Yeah. By the way, I'll throw in one more extra time mention here. I saw this on LinkedIn of all places over the last week. Robbie Nielsen got a new job, assistant coach at Lommel SK in Belgium.
I would never have guessed that one.
Yeah. Interesting. Over in Belgium. Good for him. Landed on his feet. Continuing his coaching career. I truly and believe in Robbie Nielsen's future as a coach. I think he's a really talented coach. It's hard to transition into the world of U.S. soccer. It's very weird. It's weird. It's wacky, and it has its, you know, unique differences that some folks, especially who are used to the European world of soccer, just don't really get a grasp on sometimes. So unfortunate it never worked out for him here with the Rowdies, but best of luck to him in his new gig out in Belgium, because I think he's got still a long and positive future coaching career. So good luck to Robbie Nielsen out in Belgium.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Now with that, thank you, listeners. We will get you out of here. Please follow RBLR Sports on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, Threads, anywhere. Blue Sky, I think, was the other one. At RBLR Sports. I'm mostly on Twitter at RBLR James K. You can use the hashtag AskRBLR, or you can reach Carlos.
At CarlosCPA10. Let's tweet. Let's post. Let's talk about the Rowdies winning more games. I don't know. Let's hit posts into the goals, upper 90 bangers, Woobens Pacias scoring a hat trick next game. We'll talk about it on Twitter at CarlosGPA10.
We're putting it out into the universe, and we're going to make it happen at some point here.
Yeah.
Like and subscribe to our podcast, where you can get more of us wish casting about the Rowdies, and you can get the full experience on YouTube if you'd like. We are also on Spotify, the iHeartRadio app, Apple and Google Podcasts. Anywhere you are, that's where we are. We'll see you there. For a good win on the road, and hopefully another one coming up. Come on, you Rowdies.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.